I have a question this morning for all of us here, that if a little boy came up to you today or next week or whenever, and he announced to you that when I grow up, I want to be the meekest man on earth, what would you think about that? Just ask a little guy what he wants to be when he grows up, and he says, I want to be the meekest man on earth. Well, that would catch me completely by surprise, because I'm kind of dating myself, but when I was a kid, you grew up and you wanted to be either a firefighter, or you wanted to be a policeman, or maybe an astronaut, or maybe even president of the United States, or whatever. But I never had anybody say to me, I want to be the meekest man on earth. You know, we know that that word meekness is a good thing, because it is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So if we go to Galatians, this is going to be the first scripture reading that we have this morning. If you go to Galatians chapter 5, and we're starting at verse number 22. Galatians 5, verse 22, it says here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. But most of us, when we talk about being meek, we might have this image of a little skinny, unassuming guy with a high-pitched voice and a timid way of approaching people. When you think of being really meek, kind of drawn back, not outgoing or anything like that. But you see it in the definitions of the word meekness. Now, the dictionaries that I used to describe meekness is humble in spirit or manner, showing little spirit or courage. And the problem that we have today when we think of meekness in our modern usage, it's not necessarily the same as the biblical term of the words that are being used. The definition of meek in the dictionary that I picked out over the weekend here was a person who is quiet, a person that is gentle, and a person that is submissive. The word meek, it is related to being humble, but it's not the same thing. You know, it's been said that the poor and the oppressed are often called meek. We read that in the Bible. Not because they are frightened, but because they have no pride in their current position, and therefore they have little concern for themselves. Let's go now to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 4. In Isaiah, 11 and verse number 4, it reads here, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. The poor are similar to the meek, afflicted or humble. Now let's go to Titus and read a little bit more about this. This is Titus chapter 3. And verses 1 and 2. It reads here, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. to be harsh to no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. That's what we as Christians are to have. It is a trait that all Christians are to have. Being meek and gentle to all men. You know, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for meek, and I think I'm pronouncing this correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, anaw, spelled A-N-A-W. But it means someone who is afflicted or bearing a heavy burden. And this morning, the first example I want to look at is Moses. And I got this idea from Mark's previous sermons that he had with regards to the golden calf about Moses. Because Moses, Mark brought up last couple times that he had his sermon on the golden calf, was a humble man. And in fact, even in scripture reading that we read this morning, that Mark read, indicated that Moses was the meekest man on earth. But then you may question, well, how can that be? Moses being the meekest man on earth and doing what he did. You know, I'm being honest with you, I was probably maybe 7, maybe 8 years old. And if memory serves me correctly, I know I was down at my grandfather and grandmother's house on my mom's side. And grandma was a religious person in our family at that time. And I think it was around Easter time that we were down there. And on the television set came the Ten Commandments. Now, I'm assuming that everybody has seen once or twice the movie, The Ten Commandments. Because it's like a staple. I mean, it seemed like all around, right around Easter time, they brought it on the airwaves, just like they do The Wizard of Oz at Christmas time, you know, and stuff. But I can remember sitting down with Grandma Huffman. We had the TV on, and we're watching The Ten Commandments. And it got to the point, Moses, Charlton Heston, came down from the mountain after speaking with God. And I can remember what he looked like before. Now, I know that this is Hollywood, this is a movie and stuff. But this made a lasting impression on me. He went up to that mountain, had dark hair, dark beard, didn't look that old. He came down from that mountain after speaking with God. And his facial features, his hair, and his beard both were white after speaking with the Lord. Now, you might have to rent it, you might have to Google it or whatever, but man, that made an impression on me because I told Grandma, I says, what happened to this guy? I mean, he didn't look that old when he came down, or when he went up to the mountain, but when he came down, there's a different story. And then she explained to me about speaking with God, the burning bush, all that. I'm going, wow. That made a lasting impression on me. But him being humble and being, we just think of that word this day and age, easy to get along with, didn't have a bad streak or anything. But wasn't it Moses, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it Moses who in a fit of anger threw down those tablets of stone and he busted them in pieces? That was Moses that did that. Well, like Mark brought up in his sermons about the golden calf, wasn't it Moses who took that golden idol and he burned it in front of all these people? Not only that, but he ground that up. He got it grounded up. Then he put the powder in the water. Now I'm talking about a guy that It's pretty humble. He ground it up, he poured it in water, and he made the people drink it. Think about that for a while. Does this sound like a mild-mannered, unassuming type of guy? Let's go to Numbers, chapter 12. Numbers, chapter 12. We're going to read a little bit from the Old Testament here. I'm going to do 1 through 3, verses 1 through 3. And this, of course, has to deal with Miriam and Aaron. It says, "Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, 'Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well?' And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth." This is Moses' brother and sister have been giving him grief because he chose to marry a woman from Ethiopia. They've been giving him a hard time. They openly spoke against Moses and insinuated that since God had spoken through them in the past, that there was no need for them to follow Moses anymore if they didn't want to. But this statement in verse number 3 about Moses' weakness is an exclamation or explanation about the circumstances. And rereading that again, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth." Moses, he never complained to God about the grief that Miriam and Aaron were causing him. Never once did he go to God and say, "I can't handle this anymore." He chose to bear the burden. He chose to bear the burden. And thus, in verse 2, "And the Lord heard it," we see that God chose to step in. And when he heard it, do something about the matter, even though he wasn't asked to. You know, Moses was not the type of person to bring his personal problems to God. He just held everything. The complaints, whatever it may be, that he dealt with on a day-to-day basis, he did not bring that to God. If we go to the book of Exodus, we can also see more meekness examples of Moses. This is in Exodus chapter 18. And I'm going to read from verses 13 is where I'm going to start. And I'm going to go all the way to 23. So this is a long reading, so please bear with me. Starting at verse number 13, "It came about the next day that Moses set to judge the people. And the people stood about Moses from the morning until the evening. Now when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, 'What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, and all the people stand about you from morning until evening?' Moses said to his father-in-law, 'Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws.'" Moses' father-in-law, we're talking about Jethro here, Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I will give you counsel, and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God. Then teach them the statutes and the laws, and make known to them the way in which they are to walk and the work they are to do. Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God. This is men of truth, those who hate dishonest gains, and you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Let them judge the people at all times, and let it be that every major dispute they will bring to you, but every minor dispute they themselves will judge. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all these people also will go to their place in peace. Moses was literally wearing himself out, trying to help everyone solve their problems. Day in, day out, it says from morning till night. He was trying to carry the whole load. But you know what? He never complained or even thought of what this was doing to him. He willingly bore those problems of all the people, of everyone else, on his own shoulders. He didn't complain about it whatsoever. But his father-in-law, however, saw that problem. And he pointedly told Moses that what he was going, that he was doing was just not right, was no good. I want you to go back and look at verse 19. And it says here, "Now listen to me, I will give you counsel, and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God." Moses needed to take all those problems to God that he was handling. And then the next thing he needed to do, he needed to start training men to assume some of the burden that he was bearing on behalf of the people. You know, the meekness of Moses wasn't a character of him being timid or letting other people run over him. Moses' meekness was a demonstration of strength. Strength beyond all comprehension of what other men show. He carried burdens that would cause most of us to crumble, and he never complained. Never complained, not even to God. That is an example of Moses. The next thing I want to look at is the example of Jesus. You know, Jesus tells each and every one of us that he is also meek. Let's go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11 and verse number 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That's Jesus telling us that he is meek. But also, I was talking about Moses breaking the tablets, the Ten Commandments was on. But it seems like I recall that Jesus threw money changers out of the temple. What's it say in Matthew chapter 21? Let's go to Matthew 21 and see what it says about this. Matthew 21, I'm starting at verse number 12. "And Jesus entered the temple, and he drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den.'" This is a meek man. He called himself that he was actually meek, but yet he took that table and he lifted that table, turned it upside down, because he was in disgust of what was going on in the temple. He's telling us that he is willing to take up heavy loads and bear them. And in their place, he will give us the lighter load to carry. Let's think about the prophecy of the suffering servant. I'm back in the book of Isaiah this time. And this is Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, I'm beginning at verse number 6. And this is, like I said, the prophecy of a suffering servant. It reads, "All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth." This is a description of meekness. Everything that was going on, but yet he did not open his mouth. He had a willingness to bear the burdens of others with no thought of self, or without a groan of complaint. He took on the load himself. Because, folks, Jesus bore so much on our behalf. That is meekness. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. beginning at verse number 21. It says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sins, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return while suffering. He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul." Seems like this past Wednesday night during Bible study, we were talking about shepherds and the purpose that they did in the old country, keeping everything in line and keeping everybody where the sheep could hear their voices and they were content. They knew that they were safe. Without a doubt, Jesus, he wasn't cowardly and he wasn't weak. And the funny thing about it, depending on how you look at it, I guess, at any time, Jesus, all he had to do was ask, and he could have stopped all the violence. But Jesus wasn't concerned about himself. There was work to be done. There was a burden to carry that no other one should shoulder. And Jesus was the person for that. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. Beginning at verse number 4. It reads, "Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." lot said right there. But he wasn't meek and he wasn't cowardly. Jesus. Let's talk a little bit now about the meekness of a Christian. You know, if we patiently suffer for what is right, then we have God's commendation. It's not easy. It never has been easy living in this world. But if we suffer for what is right, we will receive our award in heaven. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to do verse number 12. So as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. And forgetting, if anyone has a complaint, forgiving them. You know, folks, it's not going to be a rose garden out there. Without a doubt, without a doubt, you're going to have people put up with people that irritate you and cause you all sorts of griefs. That's just the way of the world. But my recommendation to you is do the best you can and carry that load. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1. Galatians 6, verse number 1. It says, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Restore with the attitude of meekness. Restore with the attitude of meekness. You know, when people fall into sin, we who are spiritual should pick up their burden. Now, I'm not saying to the point of taking on their sin or being tempted by sin, but you need to help them shoulder their burden so that they might have a chance to become stronger. Work with them. Have a shoulder to lean on, whatever the case may be. Because it says, bear one another's burdens. That's the law of Christ. That is the law of Christ. You know, the spirit of meekness is a very precious gift in God's sight. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse number 3. It says, your adornment must not merely be external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Meekness is very precious in God's sight. One more scripture reading, and then the sermon will be yours. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse number 11. It says, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. After reading that, I thought about it this past week. Have you ever given thought how odd it is to mention the word meekness, and then in the very next phrase it talks about fight the good fight? Think about that. You know, without a doubt, folks, and not just me, we have all sorts of guys up here that have talked about you're going to be opposed in this world that we live in today, by being a Christian. What I'm asking is that you stick with it. You shoulder that burden. You help the fellow man. Give no thought for yourself, but battle for the Lord. That's my sermon for today. And we never close out a sermon on a Sunday without this invitation. That if you haven't been a child of God, or if you're not a child of God, you can always be one. We just have to remember the rules and regulations that they talk about. That you need to hear Jesus. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Those sins that may have been in your life, you need to repent of those sins. Confess Jesus. Be baptized, fully immersed in water for the renewal of your spirit. And last but certainly not least, you need to be faithful always. I'm not just talking on Sunday mornings. I'm not talking Wednesday nights. It's 24 hours a day. It's 7 days a week. It's 365 days a year. Always be faithful. So if there is anyone in the audience that would like to become a Christian, everything's ready. Or if we have someone in the audience that's having a tough time, has had a tough week, we're here for you. We're just not letting this fall on idle ears. We care about each and every one of you. So, if there's anything that we can do for you, we ask that you please come forward as we sing the song of invitation.